Good evening, everyone. And I hope and wish and pray that you all had a very lovely week. And where it was a bit difficult, it was just a learning curve for us to go forward with Christ. So, all right. Hello.
Yes.
Good evening.
No, I am not sure. I'm not sure how much of us are on. So I'm just going to assume that it's about 8 or 9 at the moment. Just a minute. I'm just trying to get something sorted. All right. My little discourse this evening is something that I've been pondering with all week and all month, so to speak. And it is God's gift to us, which we use sometimes, we don't use sometimes. So I'm going to ask a question, and I would like everybody to just open your mic and say, give your answer. Have you ever made a promise?
Yes.
All right. Good. Have you ever been promised something that didn't happen?
Yes.
So we all have made promises, and we all have been promised things that didn't happen. And some of us, like myself, have made promises which we couldn't keep. Sometimes it's within our remit to keep it, but we didn't. Sometimes it's out of our remit, which why we couldn't keep it. And so today I want to talk to us about God and promises. And why I want to talk to us about God and promises is because I see promises that we make as not effective, but promises that God makes as very effective. So let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your blessings. We want to thank you for your watch care. We want to thank you for being the God that we can depend on. We don't even have to think about it twice in order to depend on you. Whatever you say, that's what you will do. You have given us promises of all kinds, and we have never seen one that has failed. And we don't believe we will ever see one that has failed. So we want to thank you for that, and thank you for your mercies. Be with those who have joined us now, who are on now, and those who will join later. Be with those who are unable to join as well because of various reasons and different obligations and situations. But we want to ask you, Lord, the blessing you extend to us who have joined, you'll extend it unto them as well, so that they will not be left out, but they will get the blessings that you have dispatched for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In Isaiah 43:2, I'd like people to get Bibles or get mobile phones or whatever you use to read your text. I'd like us to all go to the Bible. I'm sorry if it sounds like a Bible study. It's not a Bible study, but I would like us to actually be reading the text. And I'm just trying to bring it up on my phone as well. Isaiah 43:2. If anybody find it, can you read it, please? Anybody? Okay, and Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the water, I'll be with thee. And when thou, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And this is a promise that God has made to us. But I would like somebody to actually tell me what they grabbed from this promise. What does this mean? Anyone? Hello?
Yeah. When we're going through difficulties, he's not going to forsake us. Because oftentimes when we're going through, we feel alone and we feel that he's left us. But okay. This is telling us not. He's not going to.
All right. Anybody else?
God is always with us. He never leaves us, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter whatever, you know. He's still always with us.
All right. And I'm going to look at another one in Proverbs. And it says, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. If God is going to be there with us despite what we are going through, we have to trust him. Because sometimes we can't see the end result of what we are going through. We can't feel upbeat about what we are going through. But we have to still trust in God. We have to trust in him, and not just trust in him. Oh, well, you know, he might do it today. I'm not sure about tomorrow. Or let me watch and see how it's going to go because I'm not sure he's going to do. If that's a trust we're going to come with, we're not going to make it. You know why? We can't be doubting God and expect the blessings to be right. Because it's not that God is not giving us the right blessing. Because we're doubting it. So even when it's correct, what we're going to feel in our spirit is that something is wrong. Because we are not trusting God wholeheartedly. Our whole mindset is about trusting God and leave it to him. It's hard to do, very hard, because if I say to you, trust me, you might say, no, I'm not sure how I can manage it. But when God says to you, trust him, you can't, none of us have ever seen God fail. None of us has ever seen God not done what he said he was going to do. None of us has ever seen God not being there for us. And so it's unlike me, a human being. You know that I have limitations. But like God, there's no limitation. And so we have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. Don't try to work it out for God. Don't try to think, oh, well, you know, if he didn't do this, then this is how it's going to work out. Maybe he'll do that. Because once you start working it out for God, you're going to lose. You agree? Once you start saying to God, I'm not sure. Let me see if I can do something about it. You have changed the equation. And God is not going to force us. And because he's not going to force us, the equation will stay changed according to how you have changed it. All right. God also gives us promises about, if we look at Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And I can vaguely remember in the Bible when he went, God was going to perform a miracle, Jesus, and he said some of the people had to come out. I can see your hand, Arnett.
Sorry, Brother Kelly, you're going so fast.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Let me slow it down a little bit. All right. We're talking about promises of God to this evening. And we're looking at where we are today in COVID, you know, not being able to pay the rent, the struggles we had before COVID, and now it's now compounded with all of this. And I'm saying God has given us an assurance that he will be there whether we go through the rough times, which is the river, the water, the fire, he will be there. And that's a promise that he's making to us. All we have to do to gain God's promise is to accept it. You know, we have to be obedient and accept it. That's all enough. People believe you have to do anything to get to the kingdom. You don't. You don't have to do anything to get to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Jesus died and paid that debt for us. So that's all paid up. You don't have to say, well, sacrifice anything to go to the kingdom. But God says, just like how you would want to go to the kingdom, you must do what? In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said, go ye therefore and teach. You have to share. You have to let others know about this God. Know about how he's taking care of you. Know about your experience with him. And that's what he's asking us to do. But in his promises, he's also saying to us, I have done it. You just need to follow my lead. You just need to walk with me. And I will take you through it. And it says, all we have to do is be obedient. Because disobedience, the Bible says, worse than witchcraft. It means that we cannot be disobedient and make it to the kingdom. There's no way we're going to make it to the kingdom. That alone, just disobedience, is going to stop us from the kingdom. And that's where we need to go. But in God, in the promises, God is saying, trust in me. Put your trust in me and I will take you through it. Then he goes back and he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not discouraged. Be not afraid. Be not concerned overly about it. Does that mean you shouldn't be concerned about where the rent coming from? No. What he said, don't make it be a bother. Don't make it eat into your system. Don't make it put you up your game with him. Continue praising him, continue thanking him, continue trusting him. Even when you're not sure where it's coming from, you don't see it. You don't have the first penny to pay that rent or to pay that bill. Trust him. Because you know what happened? My God is a funny God, isn't he? He'll say to you on the day, the last minute you need that money to pay. And then he sends the landlord to you to say, all right, you know something, I'll phone you up. I can't come today. I'll come in next week, Thursday. I'll never give you any money. No. He didn't pay the bill. What he did, he impressed upon the landlord's heart to put off the time. Because he know between that time and Thursday, he's going to provide the money. And while you're there worrying yourself, God is saying, look at that thing. No trust. Don't even take my promises faithfully, because I am going to look after her. I'm going to look after him. And sometimes we make ourselves miserable. And I use that word. We make ourselves anxious. We make ourselves worried about things that we have no control over and we can't do anything about. God has said, I have done it for you before. So another promise he has given us. And today we're talking about promise. So I'm just reading promises. I'll tell you where they're found. I'm reading promises and we're going to look at it. It said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, I am not looking at this promise just by physical death, but I'm looking at spiritual death, where people who believe in Jesus and accept Jesus should not lose their spiritual position at all. It might get shaky. It might get rough. You might start walking on the water and start sinking. But even with all of that, you should know that there's a God. You should know that he's going to take you through this. And you should know that once you keep your eyes steadfast on him, once you connect to him, once you cry out, Lord, save me, he's not going to let you go. God is so loving and merciful and kind that what you need to get my mind to think, oh, I'm going to help you. You only need to say, call his name, Lord, save me. That's it. You tell me that, I'm going to say, why? I'm going to ask several questions. Wonder if I do it, what she's going to do next. If I save her now, she might come back to bite me next week and tell us. You know, so I am a rational everything, but God is saying, just call me sincerely from the depth of your heart. Just turn to me. Even in your mess, even in the struggles, I'm going to go be there with you. And we're going through a period now, which nobody seems to know the outcome is going to be. And a lot of predictions have been bantering around the place. But you know something? God says that despite what we are going through, he's there. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And he says, the eternal God is our refuge. And this is from Deuteronomy 33, 27. The eternal God is our refuge. God is not going to leave us outside. I watched a clip yesterday about a lady who has been an athlete for years. Javelin, 400, 100. And then somewhere along the line, you know, they all never make it to the top. There's always going to be only one that gets to the Olympic and get gold. But this young lady was left on the street by her team, by her coach. She didn't have enough to pay for the training that she wanted. And they just streamline her, just leave her on the street in a country like America. She's from the Caribbean. And she said every time that she thinks that she was going to sink, she went to NCU, which is Northern Caribbean University. So every time that she thinks that it's going to go bad and she turned to God, he always provides a way. And although she didn't go to the Olympic and got gold, she got bronze medal. She got first place in some character games and some other games. And she said all of this was just gifts. She had no money to pay for it. But she had one promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that was what she held on to. She said every time she was going to go down, she turned her mind to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. She said that Bible text was the only one she knew. It was the only one she knew. The rest she has to read. But that one, it was riveted in her head. And I can join up with her. Because every time I find myself in a corner, whether it's on the road, in the work, at church, anywhere, I just remember, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I will say it again, and people will not agree, but I'm saying it because it's about me. I am very shy. And I try to How should I look at this? Why are you laughing, Donna? Donna, why are you laughing? I am very shy. But what I do, and this is what people don't understand, I talk away my shyness. I talk away my shyness. I get up and you ask me to do something and I'm not too sure. But I said, what do you want me to do? And once I get an understanding in my head, I got it like a bull in a china shop. I am going at it because wherever the mistake is coming, I'm only going to hear about it after I'm done. I don't want to hear about it while I'm there because that is going to put me off. So what I do, I push along, and I do what I'm doing, and I will speak about it, and I will open what I think about it. You know why? Because when I do that, guess what happens? A lot of people say what they want to say, and they don't realize they're helping me to do what I was asked to do without me coming to them to say, Donna, can you help me with this and that and that and that? Just the mere fact that you say, oh, what? I don't like how you do that. It jumped in my head. And I'm saying, all right, Donna don't like this. Why? I don't know why she don't like, but this one, that one. Then this one come and say, you could have do it just a little bit like that and it would be a little bit better. So I said, Donna didn't like it that way. Maybe I've gone too far on that end. So this is how, in my head, I operate. But people see me and say, oh, he's very confident. He's very, I want a word that would describe that. You know, he's very bossy. That's not the word, but that's the word that can come out in my head. And he's very show off or something like that. But that's not it. The reason And the reason behind my being that enough is because I am already timid and I'm already coward and I don't want to fail. So the idea is push at it, go at it. And when you fail at the end, then people will teach you what you need to. You'll see your mistakes. Some people will be able to come back to you. But let us say they ask me to do something and I say no. Will I ever know if I could do it? I won't. So I keep this promise in my head. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So when he asks me to do something, I'm going at it and I'm saying, Lord, you go and take me through it. Even when I make my mistakes, I am going at it because I'm trusting that God is going to take me through it. And sometimes, he takes me through it. Arnett comes and she said, you know, you did that the other day. You could have really speak a little slower because you're going so fast, I can't hear you. Or I can't catch up like she just did. And it helped me to calm back. To realize you need to shake that down a little bit outward because you can speak at 100 miles a second, they can't listen at 100 miles a second, so you need to come down to about 45. Yes, Donna, I see you.
No, I'm just saying the story that you gave of the woman, you know, the athlete, and then the only thing that she remembered is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you're talking about reclaiming God's promises. So, yes. What I found poignant in that is the fact, even though she didn't remember anything else, but she believed in that one promise, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the only, to think of all the many scriptures that we have in the Bible, you know, that one resonated with her, that stayed with her, and that helped her to get through, you know, like you said, she might not come first in everything, but she didn't give up on herself, and she knew that God will make things possible. So I find it interesting that if you believe in something, regardless of what's going on, and you claim his promise, because you know his word to be true. Yes. So it might not happen straight away, or you might have to face a lot of difficulties and trials and things like that. But, you know, we just have to, when you claim it, God is there, and he will deliver. That's what I find. That's what I find with, you know, but I just thought it was the fact that that's the only passage she could remember. But look how powerful that one text is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We put our belief and trust in him. It doesn't matter what we're facing, what the difficulty is. We will overcome.
That's And just to add to that, I didn't finish the story, but I'm going to tell you what the end is. She ended up sleeping on the street like a rough sleeper, you know, living with people and be cold mad. That's how she ended up. And then she keep praying and she keep saying, what can she do for the people? Remember, you're on the street, you know. And you're struggling on the street. And you're looking out to do something for people who are struggling like yourself on the street. But everything she gets, she started sharing. And as she goes along, and you know what the shops around realize? That they could give her more things because she wasn't selfish. She was going to share it with everybody. So instead of those rough people go to beg them and to stand up at their door and to keep, you know, in front of their shop and make it look bad. They just care about bulk of things and give it to her and say, you share it. So eventually, she rises from just sleeping on the street to becoming somebody who's helping them. And she went on to have a degree in some I could send out the WhatsApp thing, but some technological thing she went on to doing. And some university in America, she came back to Jamaica and she did the same thing. And she continued. All I'm simply saying is she trusted that anything she wants to do, she can do it as long as God is there with her. And we have to get to that point. Because in Psalm 16:8, can somebody find Psalm 16:8 for me? And James 1:2-3. Let's look for those ones. Psalm 16:8, James 1:2-3. Anybody find it earlier?
Psalm 16:8.
Yeah, Psalm 16:8.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Amen. So if you look at the text, the young lady says she could only remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that promise now to say, I've set the Lord ever before me. He's my right hand. I shall not be moved. It's like a termination. God is saying, listen, I am always going to be there. Nobody can move me. So if you trust me and put me as your marker, your pointer, your goal you're working towards, you cannot fail. It might not look the way you want it, but you cannot fail. And even when you think you're failed, it's not failure or fail. God just have a different way of dealing with it. We have to, and this evening I want us to remember that even with the COVID, even with the difficulties that's going to come after it, because some people think COVID is it alone. When COVID is gone, or settle down, or whatever they want to call it, there are going to be some difficult times coming in. There are going to be people without somewhere to live. There are going to be people out of jobs. What we need to do is to reassure ourselves and our colleagues and our church family that Christ can do it for us. And his word is never going to fail. His word is never going to fail. So we have to get to that point where we realize that his word is never going to fail. And I'm going to read the next one for you from Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 11. I'm going to read Proverbs 2 and verse 11 for you. It says, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. You see where it's going? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Put Christ as your marker and allow him to be part of you and use your discretion. Don't go and think, oh, well, I can do it by myself. And it says, understanding shall keep thee. When you understand what God is about, even when you have nothing, you know, like that young lady, she was on the street, sleeping on the street. Sister, people peed on her. People spit on her while she was out there on the street. This is a person who was doing traveling, throwing 400 meter running and all of that. But this was what she came down to, because she could not afford to pay for her tutoring, her training, and things like that. And now, when all of that happened, she went down to that level, but she did not give up. She said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that was her text. And she held on to that text. She believed in that text, and she accepted that text. And sometimes we will say we believe, but when trouble comes, we will forget. And you don't have to know the text from the top of your head, we can say that one from our head. No. But in our heart, we have to turn our minds to Christ and say, Lord, I know I can only depend on you. It's the same text. I can do all things through Christ. But you're not going to bother to go through the whole theory of repeating it. Lord, I can only depend on you. Lord, it's you alone that can help me to get to where I'm going. That's the same text, and I'm just breaking it down in different ways of how we can just say it. You know, sometimes we want to do these long prayers and these escalated logical things that the theologian tried to do. I'm not very good with pronouncing big words, so that's it. But people try to do it that way, and guess what happened? All them long prayers don't need nothing more than, Lord, help me. That's what it needed, you know. Lord, help me. Lord, you promised that you'll not see me beg bread. Help me. I don't have penny, and I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight, but you promised me. And we have to hold God to his promise. It's not that we are bullying him, but he said, come, seek. He said, come boldly to the throne. When you go to the throne of grace, and you're, oh, well, Lord, you did say, you start doubt already. Lord, you say you're going to keep me grounded. Can you keep me now? I need it. I feel like I'm dropping off the balance, Lord. Even in your word, I don't feel like I'm studying enough, Lord. You keep me grounded. You think God is not going to be happy to do that? He's going to be happy to do it. Might not be the way you want it to be, but his promises are sure. You know why we all feel like that?
Can I say, sometimes what you're saying there, sorry to interrupt you.
It's fine.
We need to get a word in. Sometimes we just need to keep it simple.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We just need to be simple. Because even before we go to God, he knows what we're coming with. You know what I mean? So we don't have to sound like this in, intelligent person or one who knows all these big words. Or, you know, as they would say, just keep layman terms. We keep it simple.
Yeah. And you see, God, you can't impress God with all them long big words and them long meet-up prayer. No. So you might as well go to him plain. And you see, I remember in 81, there was a campaign going on. Fitzhenry was running a campaign. And he said, listen, you know what we failed to do? We failed to put God, a chair and sit down with God and talk to him. And I said, wait, oh, you can't put a chair. And he demonstrated. He got two chairs. And he sat on one. And he put the other one empty there. And he said, Lord, I'm asking you to come and sit here, so may you need to have a talk. This is... But you know what happened? He said that worked for him. When he was in prison, that was what took him through it. When he came out, that was what helped him to become the evangelist that he was. That he always find the time to put a chair for him and God to sit down and talk. He said in that time, no children, no wife, no business. All he wants to do is to talk to God. We don't have to necessarily have a chair, but we sometimes just need to go to God and say, Lord, you know something? We don't understand what's going on. I'm not like it neither. Yeah, straight. Because God knows where your heart is, so you can't hide from him. But he promises you that when you come to him, seek ye first him, the kingdom, and all other things shall be added. That's God's promise to us, you know. He never said, go and make up the kingdom first, go and build a church, go and win them 10 souls before you can come to me. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come and talk to me first. And once you talk to me, I promise you that all other things shall be added. It's another promise. You know, I promise you that once you present me first and you accept me and you put me first, everything else you want or you need. Let's not back up that word. Not want. Everything else you need. Because some of us, we want things and because we don't get what we want, we say, God promise not real. But sometimes what we want, God, what we want, not important for us. And if God give it to us, we can destroy ourselves. So God is saying tonight, let us take his promises. We who have children, one of the key things, you know, God says, don't worry about it. I see on Sister Isin, come on. Unmute and come, yes.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, Howard, you know, you're saying about the promises and we don't have to do anything, just take him at his word. But if it's that simple, but why are we not always doing that? So we've got to question ourselves, isn't it? Because it's that simple, it's that straightforward. God is not using a big, highfalutin word. He's very simple. Come, accept. But we still have a problem with that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're encouraging ourselves now, you know, that the importance of spending time and talking to him and that he hears, he answers in his time, although it may not be our time. But it is so simple. But why are we actually struggling?
And the thing about it is, when you look at the whole thing, the relationship that we need to have, we have to remember that we have to have a relationship with God before we can really see the working of God. I can see, before. And why I say we have to have a relationship with God before? Because if I don't have a relationship with any of you, how am I going to know when you're really genuinely treating me the way you should? How am I going to trust when you say to me, oh, don't do that, because I don't have a relationship with you. So the first thing you try to talk to me, I'm going to say, she's trying to come tell me what to do, like, say she. But genuinely, you're trying to serve me, you know. But because my relationship with you is not really great, or none at all, it's the same thing with God. If we don't have that relationship with him, we are not going to make it, because that's where we need to start.
Sanya had her hand up.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Sister Hazel said, why is it so hard for us to do? And I think it has to do with the fact that it is too simple. And oftentimes we only think it has to be something big and great and powerful for us to get through to God. And all God is saying is just come as you are, present yourself. I already know, as Donna said, but I need you to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Just talk to me. And the other thing is, you know, sometimes we can't even talk. Sometimes we don't have the words to talk. And we can just say, we just have to groan. And he knows, but we're still looking for, it has to be a miracle, big splash, you know. And we fail to remember that God appeared in the still small voice. And if he appears in a still small voice, it means that he can do the big splash, but he can also do the simple, quiet thing. Yeah.
I was agreeing with Howard was saying about the relationship, but the relationship is very important. Because if you don't have a relationship with Christ, it needs a relationship. But if we look at Bible characters, and Sanjay, I hear you saying about from them expect something big, something great. But to be honest, I wasn't even thinking on that level. But if we look back at the characters of the Bible and those men and women, they had close relationship with Christ. They had very good relationship, and they still have challenges and problems. Job, powerful relationship. Yeah, Moses, all of them. But within that, when I go back, then I think answering that, if we go back to what you were saying, Howard, it's about a relationship. But when you, it doesn't mean that when you follow Christ, you're not going to have challenges. It's impossible not to have challenges, even with a relationship with him. But do we have that stickability, that continuity? Like today we're up, today we're down. But even we're down, is a continual relationship and trusting in him. Why these men of old overcame, but they didn't give up.
But don't the challenges grow us closer to God?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because once you've gone through it, you can truly say, God, thank you. You know what I mean? You brought me through. So for me, my challenge that I have, I'm not saying I see it as a positive, but I think that is what helps me in my relationship to get closer to God. Because if I'm going to claim his promise that he never leaves me nor forsake me,
How can you say it? What's your experience? And that's a valid, very valid point, because experiences, when a person have an experience, when you have an experience about anything, nobody can change
it. Small.
It doesn't matter who, because when you have the experience, that's always, you can't walk in anybody's shoes. But when you have an experience, whether it's with God or with somebody, that's whether I feel good or bad. But that powerful experience with Christ, that I presume is what kept these men and women of old going, and even our generation. But when you have the experience, you know that yes, it's challenging, it's tough, it's hard, but I know in the end, he's there for me.
Yeah, and you can say, I know who my Redeemer is at the end of it. And as I was about to say, when we have our children, for those of us who have children, when we go to our bed and your children 30 and 25 and 27, you can't tell them what to do. You know what I do? I pray and say, Lord, you promised me that you'll bring them back from the east, the west, the north, and the south. So I'm giving them back to you. You will bring them back. I don't know what they're doing. Six of them is in my life now. I don't really know what they're doing. Some of them I can see physically. Some of them I don't see. But you know something? I am trusting that when I get to the kingdom, God is going to fix it. And if he also said they must have a choice. So if they choose not to, he's going to tell me why. He's going to say to me, oh, what you did, and I accepted, and I answered your prayer, but your child did not want to. And that's a choice he had. And so look at his slate. And I can say, God, you were just. The argument finished. So as we close this evening, let us not go into the next week and the next months coming up worrying about whether we're going to get church open and how it's going to be open and how we're going to do it. Let us get to where we realize that God promises us that whatever we are going through the fire, he's going to be there. And it wouldn't kindle us neither. We're not going to smell a smoke. He's going to keep us safe. And where we need to start is that relationship in our heart and our mind. Amen. With God. Amen. Once we close that up, we're good to go. Yes, last one, and then I pray.
Sister Arnett.
Sorry,
can I ask a question? Because I'm just not really sure about all of this, so I'm going to ask you a direct question. You know, when you say that, you know, as Christians, do we have a covenant with God?
As Christians, yes.
Yes, I believe.
Yes, as Christian, we have a covenant with God.
Okay, yeah. And the reason why I asked you that, because I was reading the Bible during the week and I saw something. So I went back and looked for it, and it says, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Mm-hmm. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel will be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Mm-hmm. So is that telling us that, is that on the same subject that we're talking about? You know, like you say, it's plain and simple that we obviously we're going to seek God if we need him. And if it's part of our covenant with him, is it something that is an automatic thing that we do or that we should be doing?
God give a covenant is an agreement between me and you. So you and I have a covenant to meet up every Sabbath morning at 9:15 at church.
Okay.
As long as you keep that covenant, you and I keep the same covenant, we are good together. When Israel did not keep God's covenant, what happened to them? Other nations, far smaller nations than them, overthrew them. Eden people overthrew them because they failed to walk with the covenant of God. What we are saying, let's come to today. Israel gone long time. Let's come to today. You and God have a covenant. Not me and you. You and God have a covenant. I and God have a covenant.
Yes.
Anytime we break or disobey those covenants, we find it difficult. But God is so merciful that he doesn't just throw us into, because he didn't just throw Israel into captivity like that. You know, you'd warn them, you'd send a prophet, you'd send all these people. But when they totally turn their back, then he said, all right, I'm going to put you somewhere where you learn some lessons. And he put them there. But even when he put them there, protected them, you know. But he wanted them to see what the other side looks like. Same thing today. God protects us. But when we say we become a Christian and we get baptized, we have just made a covenant with God. It's like me getting married and I say to Wilma, she's going to be mine. I make a covenant with God first before I make it with her. I want to keep this relationship till the day I drop out of this place. That's a Jamaican word. Till I die. So when I keep that covenant, what it does, it tells me that God is going to help me protect my marriage because I am not doing it alone. I'm doing it with him. And then I made a covenant with her, and we worked through the rest.
Is the covenant the Ten Commandments? Would you say that's one of God's...
That God gives to man. And that's the character of God. So that's a covenant with every one of us as human beings. But we have to accept. Remember, you know, it's a choice. The choice is where we either accept the covenant or reject the covenant. It's like somebody said to you, I want to teach you to drive. You can't drive, and they offer to teach you to drive, but you don't accept it. Will you ever be able to drive?
No.
Or you accept it and you start, and you got two lessons, you don't go back to the rest of lessons. Are you ever going to become proficient? No. Same thing with God. He offers us salvation by dying on the cross. He gives us his character, the Ten Commandments, as to how we should live and how we should obey his covenant. And this is a really, he said, if you do this, there's nothing that is going to, I'm not going to do for you. Even when you go through the fire, I'm going to be there. When you come to the difficulty, I'm going to be there. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. In answer to maybe Jenny's question, you know. No, this is Lorraine.
Yeah, I know, but whose question are you answering?
I'm saying in answer to Jenny. Jenny, there is the commandments of God, which is given unto all mankind. Okay, but in answer to your question, the covenant, each and every one of us, you know, we make covenants with God, individual, personal covenants. So, you know, you might make a covenant with God that, you know, you're going to, I don't know, attend the Zoom meetings to learn more about him. So that might be your covenant with him, but that's personal to you. But then there is the law, you know, the covenant that was given unto us, which, you know, in Deuteronomy talks about bringing life and death unto mankind. It's a choice that we have to make, a decision in practicing and following God.
All right, so I just want to thank you all for listening, and I hope that when you leave, you'll go and think about the promises that God has given us. So many of them are in the Bible. For there's so much, and all we have to do is realize that we just need to trust God and let him lead. And when we come to a point, just turn to his promises. Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Job knew who God was, and he kept that promise. God is saying today, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Then he's going to go back and he said, my little children, I write unto you. Sin not. But if you sin, I'm making you the promise. If you sin, you can come back to me. That's a promise. You don't have to sin and run away and keep running. You don't have to make the mistake and don't know where to go. He says you can come back. Your children, he said, I promise you, if you constantly pray for them, they will drift, but they will have to acknowledge. They will have to come at least to acknowledge that God is the right way to go. Even if they don't accept it in the long run, they will have to acknowledge it. And God says, none of us will come off this earth without acknowledging that he had made a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's another promise, you know. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what God is saying. That where I am, you will maybe also, all you have to do is accept God's promises and live according to his promises. And that's all. Because his promises teach you to be obedient. It teach you how to trust him. It teach you how to rely upon him. And it teach you how to find comfort in him. God has promises for all aspects of our life. When it's rough, comfort. When it's a decision to make, he show you peace, give you calmness so you can make that decision. When it comes to the struggles that you don't know about, you can do it through him. You can go through those struggles through Christ who strengthened you. And when you're looking at your children and say, boy, they're big, no, they don't even want to listen. You watch some people, 10, 15 years, take their children to come back. But they do come back. And I assure you, I have a friend, there's 9 of them in the family, the children. And the husband would not go to church. He would never go to church. And Elder Virgo would not go to church, not for the life of me. And even when the rest of us are going to church, over 15 years, his wife has been praying for him, you know, one Sabbath morning. You know what he do? He get up in the house, warring with everybody. Get out, God. Well, I don't go to church. What are you doing in the house? This is a man who don't go to church, you know. But that morning, he was going to get baptized. And he did not want his children to know, nor his wife, that he was going to get baptized. So he was rushing them out of the house. But he took a cab and reached church before them. Because they usually just walk to church about 2 miles. And he got to church, get in the vestry and get ready to be baptized. And that was the only time. But you see, since he got baptized, I don't know if it's, I can't read his heart. But that man was so ordained to the word of God and to church work that you'd never believe it. And he died in that process, being a child of God. So all I'm saying, don't worry. Just pray for your children. Don't worry about what's coming after COVID. Just pray and say, Lord, as long as you are there, I am walking with you. So you just show me the way. He's going to protect you. When you drop into the rut, he's not going to make you learn from that rut. But it's just a lesson for you to have the experience so you can share with somebody else. Last point.
Unmute yourself.
Sorry. So I'm just thinking back. That is so true what you said about, you know, praying, you know what's going to happen. My youngest brother passed. About 2 years ago, I know my mom, she would be jumping. She would be over the moon if she was alive when he actually gave his life back to Christ. So we're praying and we don't always see the answers. But on that great getting up morning, by God's grace, we will see our loved ones. And, you know, you pray all the time and you think, is it ever going to happen? You pray for your partner, you pray for your children. But Christ sees the end and we just have to accept that by his grace, we keep on. And that's someday they'll listen. So promises do come true. We may not see it, we may not live to see it, but in the earth made new, we will find out.
All right. Thank you all, Donna. Your time.
Thank you all.
Your time. We pray to close. Okay. And then that's all right. Let us pray.
Okay.
Kind Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. You have shown us in your word. You have made so much provision for us in your word. You have given us promises, you have given us examples, you have given us ways, you have written out the physics and the chemistry and the biology and the maths and everything that we need is in your word. So we just ask you, Lord, tonight that you'll take control, that you'll allow us to humble ourselves and to sometimes just step back and look at what you're showing us. Give you the chance to let your will take control of ours. Because when we do this, Lord, then we can hear you, we can see what you're doing, we can feel your presence and we can know. We can discern what you're asking us to do. So, Lord, as we go through this, we know we're coming through a time where we're looking to go back out into the general public, the world, and people are concerned about what will happen with COVID. But, Lord, we are trusting you. We're not going to be concerned because we're going to trust you. We're going to walk according to what you say. And we're going to follow the guidelines of the system as well. But we're going to trust you more than any system there is so that you will take us through it. Lord, as we go through it, help us to remember your promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That's your word. that you have not given us a spirit of fear. That's your word. So, Lord, we're asking you to just give us that calmness, that peace of mind, so that we will walk according to your will. And when everything shall be finished, and that good morning come when you shall come, and the first trump shall sound, may all of us in the hearing of my voice and we're listening be lifted up to be with you in the earth made new. We thank you with all the extension of our families and friends. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.